I want to talk to you tonight about how do you pray for breakthrough? How to pray a breakthrough prayer. And this is an absolutely life-changing teaching. A breakthrough prayer is different than a normal prayer. And you need to, that needs to be established right from the beginning. A breakthrough prayer is different than a normal prayer. A breakthrough prayer is different because a normal prayer is something like, God, help me. God, I need energy. God, I need assistance. God, I need, you know, caffeine. I don't know. It could be a number of things, all right? God, I need you. And we pray those kind of prayers all the time. You know, you pray those kind of prayers at Taco Bell. Normal prayers, all right? Those are prayers that you do every day. But breakthrough prayers are prayers that you pray when you've got an uncontrollable crisis in your life that you are facing, something that is out of your hands, something that is beyond your control, something that when you look at, you recognize, if God doesn't come through, it's not happening. If God doesn't do something here, it won't happen because I cannot, no matter what I try, no matter what I do, I cannot do this on my own. That is a breakthrough kind of prayer. It's not an everyday, God bless this food, God thank you for this pizza, tacos, whatever kind of prayer. This is a God, you got to come through for me, breakthrough prayer. It's not normal. It's different. And there's a different way to pray a breakthrough prayer, all right? You can't do anything about it. Unless God steps in, it's not going to happen, all right? You know, it's one of those, it's like one of those, you go home and clean your house and you're praying. It's not one of those kind of prayers, all right? Or you're just driving to work and God help me to get to work on time kind of prayers, all right? This is a real serious breakthrough prayer, all right? And you need to know how to pray a breakthrough prayer. If you're a believer, and you're a believer who walks and lives by faith, this is a prayer that you need to learn how to pray. Maybe you already know this. This will be a good refreshing for you. But if you don't know this, you're going to learn something tonight. It's going to help you, and it's going to change your life. These breakthrough prayers is how I've seen God move mountains in my life, in my father's life, in my church's life, in our family's life. God, this is how God does this year after year after year, is through these breakthrough, faith-filled kind of prayers. And there are a few things that I've just got to mention before we get into this, all right, because one of the elements of a breakthrough prayer, and if you got hand, I don't have a handout tonight, so I'm going to put scripture on screen, but I am going to do some teaching before we pray and minister. But if you got your smartphone, you can type your notes, or if you've got a pen and paper, if you need a pen, raise your hand, and usher will help give you one real quick if you want to write some of these things down. But there's some things I need to explain to you, all right, because one of the elements of the prayer, of breakthrough prayer, is actually thanking God in advance. It's thanking God in advance, all right? For example, if I were to call you up and say, hey, I'm giving you a gift. I've got 12 checks I've sent in the mail, and they're going to cover your mortgage every month for the next 12 months, all right? My question to you would be this. Would you not thank me until you receive the checks, or would you begin thanking me over the phone right away? Right, because I just told you there's a promise that's been given to you of this great gift that's been sent to you. Now, would you begin thanking me right away, or would you wait till it came through? See, if it's you, you're thinking, man, Josh is a good guy. I could probably trust him, you know? So you're going to start thanking me or thanking the giver of that gift before you even receive it because it's been promised to you. You understand where I'm going with this? And so a breakthrough prayer is something that you start by thanking God in advance. We're gonna look in Mark 11, 24. You've heard that scripture if you've been to this church ever. You've heard this scripture been taught. But Mark 11, 24, they'll put it on the screen. And this is what the Bible says. Whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you receive it and you'll have it. It'll be yours. Anytime you ask for anything in prayer, believe that you have received it and you'll have it. And you've got to get the tense here. This is something that you've got to understand about this verse. Is there's a tense here, all right? Believe you have what? Received it. Received. Past tense, all right? Receive it. And you will. So he starts with believe that you have received it, past tense, and it will be yours, future tense. Got to pay attention to the tenses here, all right? You've got your past tense and your future tense. So we're going to read this again together. And as we do, just allow the faith to build in your heart. Read it. It's on the screen. Therefore, I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received it, and it will be yours. It will be yours. You have received it, and it will be yours, all right? So wait a minute. I've got to believe that I've received it in order to get it. Yep, because guess what that's called? Faith. I've got to believe that I've received it before I even get it. That's faith. And the breakthrough prayer requires, demands faith in order for it to come through. So I'm believing for a thing, even though it hasn't happened yet. There's been a promise that it's going to happen. There's been a promise from the Word of God, or there's been a promise that God has spoken that it's going to happen. But have I received it yet? No. But if I believe I receive it, then I will. All right? This is how this works. So yes, that's called faith. So if you've been promised a check for the next 12 months, then you go ahead and start thanking God in advance because he's already promised it. Even though you haven't received it yet, you thank him in advance for that. That's called faith, all right? And there's a big difference, and I'm just pointing this out because I got to lay a short foundation before we get into the real breakthrough teaching, all right? There's a big difference between gratitude and faith, and you need to know the difference, all right? You need to know the difference between gratitude and faith. This is something you ought to write down. Thanking God after he gives something, that's gratitude. Thanking God before he gives it, that's faith. You see the difference? Thanking God after he's already given it, that's gratitude. Thank you for what you've given me, Lord. Thank you for what you've provided, Lord. All right? But being able to thank God before you've received something, that's called faith. And there's a big difference. And in a breakthrough prayer, you've got to have faith, not just gratitude. For you to receive some breakthroughs from God, it can't come through just a grateful heart. It has to come from faith, a position of faith. All right? Again, thanking God after you've received something, that's gratitude. That's a good thing. You should be grateful. You should always be grateful for every gift that God gives and everything he does. All right? But if you're thanking God before you've received it, that's called faith. So thank you, Lord, for all these things, all right? And when you thank God before, you thank him in advance, all right? Lord, I know I've asked for it and you've promised it, so I thank you, Lord, that it is on its way. I thank you, Lord, for being the provider. I thank you, Lord, for giving me what I've asked for, all right? That's called faith. Now, once you've prayed something and you've prayed it once, do you have to keep praying the same thing over and over and over again? No, now there's something to be said about persistent faith and something to be said about persistent prayer, all right? But once you've prayed and asked God for something, you don't have to keep begging, asking over and over and over and over again, God, I want this, God, I want this, like you're wearing God out, wearing him down, and eventually if I wear him down enough, he's going to be like, fine, you can have it, all right? That's not how this works, all right? You don't have to keep going, please give it to me, please give it to me, please give it to me. That's not how the Word of God works, and that's not how faith works, all right? You're not supposed to beg God. God doesn't need to be begged, all right? God wants to bless you. You just have to simply say, God, you said in your word you'd give this to me. You promised this in your word to me, all right? And so thank you, Lord, for providing. Thank you, Lord, for fulfilling that promise. Thank you, Lord, for blessing me with this, what I've asked you for, okay? So I'm going to teach you these things about the breakthrough prayer, how to pray for that breakthrough in your life, and it is a special kind of prayer. You know, this is the kind of prayer that Abraham prayed, that promise that God gave Abraham. God gave Abraham a promise that he was going to bless him with a son, and he was going to provide for him, and he was going to, and so the Bible teaches that Abraham started thanking God immediately. Right, even though Abraham had physical disabilities and there were some obvious physical problems and there were some, physical issues between his age and Sarah, his wife, and her age and everything going on all up in that. And he was like, still, God, thank you for it. And you know how long he thanked God in advance before he received his first son? 25 years. That is a long time to be thankful. That is a long time to be in faith. But that's how long Abraham was in faith before he received his miracle breakthrough, all right? But that's how he received, all right? So we're going to be looking at 2 Chronicles chapter 20. In 2 Chronicles chapter 20, we're going to be talking about a guy named Jehoshaphat. Anybody ever read about Jehoshaphat? He's an interesting character. There's a lot of great things here. And this is the best example of a breakthrough prayer that we could cover tonight. So three enemies decide to tag team attack Jehoshaphat. They're coming at him from all angles and all sides, and man, it looks really bad. I mean, it looks like a hopeless situation, and he prays this breakthrough prayer. He knows he's about to get just smashed to pieces, all right, the way Duke smashed Virginia last night, and sadly, the way Texas smashed West Virginia last night. But he's about to get destroyed here, and he's saying, there's no way I can overcome these odds. This is out of my hands. All right, it's 3-1. It is not even that close. I'm about to get crushed, all right? I'm about to get wiped out here. And so he prays this breakthrough prayer, and I'm going to teach you this, and this is something that you need to have as a guide to help you. And again, this isn't normal praying, all right? This is for those special kind of prayers. This is for those special kind of moments. And you'll be praying this, you know, this is something you can pray for yourself. It's something you can pray for someone else, all right? Because I don't know, there are different times and different seasons where we all need a real breakthrough. I mean, where we all need a real breakthrough. All right, and I don't know where you need it. I don't know what you need it for. I will tell you this. I will say this, okay? Until you know what you're praying for, see, I don't know what you're needing. God knows what you're needing, but until you know what you're needing, until you know what you're needing a breakthrough in, you won't have one. All right? You need to be specific with what you're believing God for. That's something that has just hit my heart, all right? If you don't know what you need a breakthrough in, then you don't. How do you know God can answer it? All right, you've got to be specific with what you're believing God for, right? If it's in your finances, if it's in a relationship, God send me a man. I don't know what it could be, anything, but it could be, you know, it could be a breakthrough in your health. It could be a breakthrough. But a lot of times when we need breakthroughs, they're in areas of our lives that are uncontrollable, areas in our lives that we can't seem to manage the way we would like, things that are out of our hands. And by the way, you know, those are the most important things in your life, the things that you can't control. All right, but you're going to use this prayer a lot. I promise you that, all right? So King Jehoshaphat, he had three enemy nations coming against him. They're coming at him from all sides, and this is what he says. We're going to start in verse 1, read through verses 5, 2 Chronicles 20. He said, after this, and there'd been a big spiritual revival in the nation, all right? So there'd been a huge turning out for the Lord. And so after this, three enemy nations united to attack King Jehoshaphat, and spies told him, a huge combined army is marching to Jerusalem right now to defeat you. It'd be overwhelming. He can't do anything to stop it. So the Bible says he's scared. He's worried. He's, you know, freaking out, flipping out here. King Jehoshaphat, the Bible says, resolved to seek the Lord. And that's what we're going to be focusing on tonight. Resolved to seek the Lord. And he announced this nationwide fast. So everyone comes together. They're fasting. They're praying to seek help from God. And when they all got to the temple in Jerusalem, so they'd come from all over the nation to gather for this time of prayer, the king stood up and he prayed out loud. Now, this guy does three things that we got to focus on right here when he's in a crisis that you got to do and I've got to do. And these three things are this. He prayed privately, then he got others to pray, then he prayed publicly. You get that? He prayed privately. So he went to God first. Then he got others to join in and pray. Then he prayed publicly. Unashamed. All right? First, he prayed privately, and the Bible says he resolved to seek the Lord. Now, so instead of worrying, he's got three enemies coming against him. He says, there's no way I can beat them. Instead of worrying, you know what he did? He worshiped. Instead of panicking, he prayed. Instead of freaking out, he got on his knees, and he sought God. And the Bible says he turned to God before anything else and resolved to seek the Lord. He didn't seek strategy. He didn't call his military guys together and say, let's come up with a plan. Let's come up with a strategy. He didn't get on Google and say, how do you win? You know, he didn't do all of that first. He didn't Google search the sickness and read everything that, you know, which is what everybody in here does. The moment you get sick, you immediately Google it, and it all leads to death and cancer. Double cancer, triple cancer, all right? Everything's so bad. Stay off. That's not what he did first. You know what he did first? He prayed. He didn't panic. He didn't flip out. He didn't get on Facebook and ask for advice. He got on his knees and he sought the Lord. That is the first thing we should always do. He went directly to the Lord. Prayer should always be the first thing, not the last resort. It should always be the first reaction. It should be like a reflex. You know, when the doctor taps your knee with that little weird hammer and it pops your leg out? That's what it should be. Prayer should be for a believer. The moment you have any kind of situation, any kind of crisis, it should immediately respond with a prayer reflex. Where you immediately go to God, not as a last resort. And that's what he did. So he prayed privately. Then he enlisted others to pray. He got people joining in on the prayer here, all right? You know that there's power in group prayer. There's power in agreement. Now, it doesn't mean you ask everybody to pray, because not everybody prays. Some people talk about it, but they don't actually pray. And don't ever tell somebody, I'll pray for you, if you're not actually going to pray for you, all right? Don't say, I'm praying for you, just as a sympathy. Pray for them, all right? I've gotten into the habit that the moment somebody calls me and asks me to pray for a situation, I pray right there. I don't care where I'm at. If you need prayer, let's pray. All right? And if I need to keep praying for you, I'll keep it in my time of prayer before God. But don't tell somebody you're going to pray for them and then don't pray for them. Don't be a liar. Actually pray for them. There's power in group prayer. All right? And we're getting into the breakthrough prayer, but this is something we've got to lay here, because there's enormous power in a church that is, listen, a church like New Life, there's enormous power in group prayer, because you got a whole church filled with Holy Ghost-filled people who will pray in faith for you. So don't ever keep those prayers to yourself. Call on the elders of the church and let them agree in prayer with you. Let others speak the word of God over you, all right? There's anointing in that, all right? You got to pray publicly as well, all right? And so the other thing is, he prayed privately. He prayed privately, all right? And so he prayed privately, he prayed group prayer, and then he prayed publicly. All right? He went bold with his prayer. He went public with his prayer. He didn't pray ashamed. He didn't pray backwards. He didn't pray, you know, weak prayer. He prayed boldly. And that's important here, because if God's going to do a breakthrough, you can't pray for breakthrough and be ashamed. You can't pray for breakthrough and be timid. You can't pray for breakthroughs and be weak. All right? That's not how this works. All right, you've got to pray bold, strong prayers. All right, as a pastor, I want, as somebody who loves you, all the pastors in this church love you so much. We want to see that breakthrough in your life. We want you to receive it. But something I learned a long time ago, I can't receive it for you. I can teach this and I can do it myself, but I can't teach this and do it for you. Gosh, I wish I could for some people. There's some people that I wish I could just be like, you know, knock them on the head and smack them around a little bit and help them get focused on what the Word of God, you know, because I know what they need to do. But then there are times where I need to hit myself in the head because I need to do it too. See, you're going to have to do this for yourself, all right, for you to see the breakthrough God wants for you, all right? So we're looking at Jehoshaphat's prayer, which is the rest of the first chapter, or the rest of Chronicles 20, all right? And I'm going to teach you how to pray this prayer. And so you pray for yourself or pray for other people, you'll see these breakthroughs in your life. Verse 3, it says, Jehoshaphat was afraid, so he set his face to seek the Lord. He set his face to seek the Lord, all right? He resolved to inquire of the Lord, all right, is what some translations say. He's looking to the Lord here. And that phrase is, it's so familiar, because you see it all throughout Scripture where Jesus set his face to his Father. I could go on and on and on about how it ends throughout Scripture. When someone really needed to focus in on the Lord, the Bible says they sought the Lord, or they set their face upon him. All right? I just taught on marriage this morning here. We had some fun and learned a whole lot and taught from 1 Corinthians 13. But there's something that I learned as a husband a long time ago, and that is this. Whenever my wife is talking to me, it helps for me to seek her face. In other words, it helps for me to look at her in the eye. She likes to, when she's sharing parts of her life or parts of problems or things, it helps for me to look her in the eye, not be looking at my mobile phone while she's talking to me or watching, you know, Duke basketball. No, making eye contact matters to my wife, and it probably matters to you as well. When you're talking to somebody and you're dealing with something serious that matters to you, it helps to know that they give a rip. All right, and that's what he's talking about here. You know, my wife likes it when I look at her when she talks to me. Well, the same thing applies. God does too. And like I said, this phrase is all throughout Scripture. Like Jesus set his face when he's looking at the cross, all right? He's looking to Jerusalem. It just means that you turn your attention to God. All right, really set your heart, set your eyes on God. There are times when you need a real breakthrough that you've got to eliminate the distractions. That means turn the TV off, turn the cell phone on silent mode, put the kids to bed. I don't, whatever it takes for you to have that moment that you can really devote to this, you've got to be in a position where you can speak to God and he can speak to you without distraction. And that's an important part of this here, all right? Put your faith, set your face to seek God, all right? Now, what do we do in a breakthrough prayer? There's some things here, and I want you to list these things here. Write these down. Number one is this. Start by focusing on God, not your problem. Start by focusing on God, not my problem. Because when we're in a crisis or we're facing a big need or we're facing something we can't handle on our own, it's natural to start our prayer out or to start our talk or communication with God by saying things like, God, I'm in a crisis. God, I'm dealing with this. God, I'm going through this. God, I need this. God, I've got this problem, as if God doesn't know it. It's like, God, I have this problem. God's like, oh, no. I can't believe it. All right? No, don't start off with your crisis. God knows you're in a crisis. He knows what you're going through. He knows what your needs are. All right? Remember, He knew you were going to be in a crisis long before you were ever in one. He's God. He's not shocked nor surprised nor, oh my gosh, status, wow. That's not what He's responding here, okay? Before you even born, He knew it was going to happen, right? So don't start your prayer off with, God, here's my prayer. I need more money. I need a wife. I need a husband. I need a job. I need a raise. Don't start your prayer off with your need. All right? Don't start your prayer off, God, I need to get out of bankruptcy. God, I need a new, I don't know, whatever you're believing God for, okay? What you do is exactly what this guy did, all right? He does a few things here, and you got to remind yourself of these things. You remember, we're talking about focusing on God, not our problems. First, in my prayer, I remind myself of God's greatness. I remind myself of God's greatness. Now, this is what you're going to do first. When you're praying in a crisis and you need a breakthrough and you're praying a breakthrough prayer, all right, you're praying for something you can't control, something that's out of your hands, all right, you're not focusing on your problem, you are focusing on God's greatness. So you start your prayer off like this: God, you are a great God. God, you are an awesome God. God, use words like mighty and powerful and outstanding and amazing and big. Okay, you start by reminding yourself of God's greatness. Use words like faithful, deliverer, right? Words that magnify God, words that exalt God. You're speaking this not to remind God, you're speaking this to remind me, yourself, of how great God is. God, you are the creator of all things. God, you are unlimited in power. God, you are greater. That's what you start out by praying with. You start by magnifying God. Because listen, the bigger God gets in your heart, the bigger God gets in your mind, the smaller that problem gets. You start to remind yourself, all right, God, thank you. There is nothing too big for my awesome God, my Heavenly Father, who is the creator of all things, who has got enormous love for me. All these words of grandeur, of greatness. Use these words because they remind you of just how awesome and how mighty God really is, all right? Reminding yourself of God's greatness helps to reduce and diminish, even though it's clearly a difficult situation, even though it's an uncontrollable scenario for you, it diminishes that problem in the greatness of God. And so you start by reminding yourself of how great God is. In verse 6, this is what he prayed. He said, "Oh Lord, are you not the God who's in heaven?" In other words, didn't you make this whole thing? Didn't you create this whole thing? Didn't you speak into existence this whole thing here? Aren't you the God in heaven? You rule, he says, over all kingdoms, over all nations. You are so powerful and mighty, and nothing and no one can defeat you. I focus on God's greatness. Next is this: I remind myself of his unlimited power. I remind myself of his unlimited power. See, when it helps to remind yourself, this is something, again, I'm reminding myself of this in my prayer. I remind myself that God has unlimited power, right? When I realize that God has all the power in the world, and I don't have to have any of the power, God's got it all, and I can just trust him and let his power work through me. Man, what a breakthrough that is. What a revelation that is in your life to understand that, all right? And how you remind yourself that God's unlimited power is you start thinking of all the ways in the past that he's been there. Maybe it wasn't even for you. Maybe it's just in Scripture. That's okay. Remind yourself through the Word of God all the ways that God has already come through and all the ways that he's already healed, all the ways he's already provided, all the ways he's shown and displayed his power, his miracle-working greatness, all the ways he's ministered and delivered, all the ways he's saved and come through. You remind yourself of his unlimited power, the ways he helped people through Scripture. And then this is what you do when you're praying. You say, God, remember when you did that. Remember when you saved him. Remember when you healed her. Remember when you parted that. Remember when you provided that. That's what you do. You speak this through. Remember when you split that Red Sea. Remember when you cracked open that rock and provided. Remember. And you start to speak and remember the things that God did. All these miracles. God, you are a miracle working God. All powerful. So great. So mighty. You can do this, Lord God. And didn't you, God, if I trusted you in the past, I thank you that I can trust you right here, right now. This is a part of praying a breakthrough prayer. This is what he says in verse 7. He says this in verse of Chronicles 27. He says, God, did you not drive out those who tried to keep us from living here when you brought us back home? Didn't you drive out all the inhabitants of that land? Didn't you take them out? What's he talking about? He's talking about Exodus. He's reminding himself of Exodus, where God had given that land of Israel to Abraham, and he said, I'm going to make you this great nation. They began to grow and grow, and then the Jewish nation here, they're growing. And then there was a famine. They disobeyed God. Everything starts kind of crumbling, falling apart. They left their country. There was no food in Egypt. The nation, they moved down there. They were enslaved for the next 400 years. Everything kind of fell apart. And then finally, Moses brings them back to the promised land, the Exodus, where they get out of slavery, and they start to cross back over into promised land. And you know, those 400 years there where God provided and blessed them, and he's reminding them of the greatness of God's provision, of God's delivering power. He's reminding himself of God's unlimited ability to care and provide and minister and heal. That's the second part of his breakthrough prayer. Third part is this. The first two, you remind yourself. The third one is you remind God. You remind God of his promises. You remind God of his promises. This is important for you to get in your prayer. You remind God of his promise. God, didn't you promise to help me? Didn't you promise to heal me? Didn't you promise in your word to care for me? Didn't you promise in your word to provide for me? Didn't you promise in your word to provide all my needs? God, isn't it in your word? Didn't you promise this? You're reminding God of his promise. You know, there's like 4,000 or 6,000 promises all throughout the Scripture in the Bible. And in the next part of 7, verse 7, he says, did you not give this promised land to your friend Abraham's descendants? That's us. That's us. We're his descendants. To be theirs forever. He's saying, God, I'm reminding you of your promise to me. This is something, God, you spoke to me. This is something you said to me. And you know what? Listen, God loves to be reminded of his promises. He loves it. Now, moms and dads, like parents, we don't. We don't like being reminded of our promises, or it gets on our nerves. Dad, you promised. Mom, you promised. You said you did. Shut up. Okay. All right, because we're imperfect sinners. But see, God never gets tired, never gets annoyed by being reminded of his promise. It's a pain, and you know what, to me as a dad sometimes, but to God it's never a pain, all right? God loves it when you come to him and you say, God, by the way, you promised that you would answer this prayer. You promised that you would heal my body. God, you said you would do this. You said you would take care of all my needs. All right, you promised to heal me in this situation. God, you promised this, all right? Listen. God loves to have his word quoted back to him. He loves to hear his word spoken back to him. It stirs him up. It fires God up. God, look, God, you said right here. You said right here that you would bless me. You said right here that you would provide for me. You said right here that you would heal me. God, this isn't this your word, God. He loves it. He loves to see his word spoken, hear his word. God, I'm your child. You're my father. And you said this in your word. This is part of the breakthrough prayer. All right, God, I need your help. I'm going to keep asking for your promises. I'm going to keep petitioning you because this is something you spoke in your word that is for me. And then the last fourth thing in this prayer he does is he asks God for a breakthrough. He asks God for the breakthrough. He asks him, just flat out asks him. All right, so it starts by reminding himself of God's greatness, and then he reminds himself of God's unlimited power. Then he reminds God of his own promise to him, and then he asks God for a breakthrough. He says in 2 Chronicles 20, verses 10 through 12, our enemies want to destroy us. Watch. Will you not stop them from defeating us? God, will you not stop them? There it is. Notice in this prayer, he's very specific. He's very specific. There's a very specific request. God, here's the breakthrough I need. Here's what I need you to do for me, all right? Do you really know what you need from God? Do you really know what the breakthrough is you need from God? Have you specifically listed it? Have you specifically spoken it out? Because listen, if you don't, God can't give it. If you don't, God can't give it, right? Because you got to know what you're asking for. Otherwise, you're really not asking for anything. You're just asking God to be God. That's great. But what are you believing for? Which promise are you standing on? Which promise are you reminding him of? Get specific. You've got to clarify. Where is it do I need the breakthrough in my life? And you've got to be direct with God. Don't pray these weak sauce prayers. I don't know. This has happened to me before. There have been a lot of times where I've asked God generic prayers. All right, things like, God, bless my life. Bless my life. Help and bless me, Lord. And a lot of times, how do you even know when he actually has blessed you if you haven't been specific about what you were asking him to bless? And I've learned this too. There were some times where I asked him to bless me and he blessed me with a problem. How does that make sense? And the reason why I know that is because in the moment it was a problem, but it ended up being a blessing because even though in that moment it might have been a detour, something that caused me to stray off the path that I was familiar with or comfortable with, but because of that detour, I avoided an even bigger problem. And so sometimes you better be specific in what you're asking God to bless you with. Otherwise, God is God and he's creative. And he's quite clever. And he's quite unlimited in his abilities. And there are going to be times where you're going to say, all right, God, I just want you to bless me. And he's like, oh. And he's going to bless you, but it's not going to feel like a blessing. Now, in the grand perspective of things, you'll look back and you'll think, oh, my goodness, God, thank you for that blessing. And again, there are a lot of times where I've gone through difficult situations. And during that moment, I thought it was a curse. But when I got the perspective, it was really a blessing. But I didn't have that perspective in the moment. And so you've got to be specific with what you're believing God for, all right? Got to be specific, all right? Don't be generic. Make it something you can actually measure, something that you know God has blessed, that God has answered. Be very specific, very clear in these prayers, all right? When you're praying, God, I need to get out of debt. God, I'm believing for this particular thing. God, I'm believing for this relationship to be healed. God, whatever it is, I need this conflict to end. That's a measurable prayer, all right? Be specific. Call it out. Be specific in your prayers, all right? Because then you'll know when it's happened. And you'll know how to give God glory. You'll know how to testify for that, all right? This is all just in that first step here in the notes here when we were talking about how to pray the breakthrough prayers, all right? We started by focusing on God and not our problem and just looking through this. There's so much into this. I'm going to keep going. If it's all right with you, I'm going to teach about 10 more minutes. Is that cool with you? I feel like you're learning stuff through this, so I feel like it's important, so we'll just keep going. All right, so we've reminded God of his promise. We've asked God for his breakthrough. We've gotten specific in our prayers, and there's a second part of this breakthrough prayer, all right, and that is this. You've got to tell God, I can't do this. I need you to do this. That's a part of a breakthrough prayer. You are literally saying the words, God, I can't do this. I acknowledge that this is out of my hands. I acknowledge that unless you do this, it won't happen. I can't do this. You've got to do it. You're telling God, God, this is impossible for me. I'm powerless here. This is something that I can't do. I'm hopeless. I'm helpless. I can't do this. I need you to be God. I need your breakthrough power. I need the Holy Spirit of God to come through. I need the anointing of God to send a break. I need this to happen. All right? And this is, by the way, what makes a breakthrough prayer different from all other prayers, because when you're saying, God, I need your help, a lot of times when we're praying, a lot of us in these prayers, we still really think we can do it. Let's be honest. When you're praying, God, thank you for this Taco Bell. Make it nourishing to my body. It's not nourishing to your body, but you're still going to eat it anyway. That's not a breakthrough prayer. God, send your anointing down on this burrito. Make it holy. Shut up. Just eat your burrito. Pray you don't get sick. Because there's a lot of times where we pray prayers that we still think we can do it. All right, we pray things like, Lord, I need your strength. Lord, I need your help. Lord, I need your wisdom. Lord, we pray our normal everyday prayers, things like that, okay? But in a breakthrough prayer, you're praying things like, God, there is absolutely no way I'm making it today unless you step in. It is a line in the sand, so distinct, so unique kind of prayer. It's not like everything else. God, give me strength to make it through work today, and you made it through work, you're just fine. Versus, God, I can't do this. I can't do this. I'm done. I need you, Jesus. That's a breakthrough prayer. And you are saying to God, God, I can't do it. It's almost like when you, I mean, really feel powerless. As an adult, there are only a few times I've ever felt really powerless. One of them was as a father when my son was born. All right, the first month of his life, that kid cried and wouldn't sleep. And as a father, you're thinking, I can comfort him and hold him. If you've ever held a baby that wouldn't stop crying, no matter what you did, that's what I'm talking about, powerless. All right? You remember, if you're a parent in here, if you're a dad or a mom holding that baby and that baby crying and you sticking things in its mouth, you're trying to feed it, you're changing diapers, you're burping them or you're swinging them, you're putting toys in them, you're like, I'll buy you something. It's a baby and they don't even know nothing and they won't stop crying. That's what I'm talking about, helpless. I remember that. Helpless. You're thinking, I'm an adult, and I'm losing my mind. Your baby's crying, don't care how you feel, feeling powerless. You know, when you feel that way, that's when you're praying this breakthrough prayer. You're praying, and you're telling God, God, I can't do this. It's beyond my ability. I need you to do this, all right? By the way, if you've ever been to Celebrate Recovery, that's the first step. Some of y'all remember that. It's the first step in Celebrate Recovery. God, I realize I'm not God, and I'm powerless, and I need you. But it's the second step of the breakthrough prayer. Notice verse 12, 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 12. He says, we are powerless against this mighty army. No power to face this vast army that is attacking us. We don't know what to do, but our eyes, Lord, what? They're on you. Our eyes, Lord, they're on you. Look at this again. We got to do the exact same thing when we're praying for a breakthrough. First, you tell God exactly how you feel. God, I feel powerless. I have tried, I have tried, I have tried. I've done as much as I can possibly do here, but I can't control this, I can't manage this, I can't manipulate this, I can't trick anybody into getting this right for me, I can't do anything, all right? I have banged my head on the wall for weeks, for months, I have done everything I know to do, I am at the end. This is not happening, all right? You tell God, I feel hopeless, I don't know what to do anymore. Again, you're worshiping because you're coming to God with this. Worrying is keeping all these feelings to yourself and complaining about it. Worship is taking them to God. So as long as you're taking these thoughts and these feelings to God, God receives this as worship because he's acknowledging that you're coming to him as a source for the help. And so you're letting God how you know you feel, all right? And I love what he says. Even though he says we're powerless, he says we don't know what to do. He says, even if we did have the power, we wouldn't know what to do. I like that. Even if I did have the power, I don't have a clue what to do. Have you ever had those moments where you had the ability, but you didn't know how to use it? It's like you have the resources, I have the money, but I don't know how to make it go. I don't know what to do here. I love that he acknowledged this, all right? It's like those, it's like that, it's like knowing how to untangle Christmas lights. You know, I know that they're in a net and into a knot, and I know how to untangle them, but good God, you ever been in that moment where you're just like, you know, you eventually just take scissors and cut it all up and go buy new ones? I have. I am not about to spend 3 hours of my life and instead of spending $5 and buying a new strand here. That is stupid. I have. I cut them all up and throw them right away. I cut them up just to let them know who's boss. This is what he's saying. God, I'm powerless. I'm looking to you. I need you. All right? It's like in those moments. I've been, as a pastor, I've been in those hospital rooms where a family member is dying. Or a family member is about to pass away. And you know that there's nothing you can do about it. And as a pastor, I'm there to just, you know, just stand in faith with people and believe God. But there are those moments where you know as a pastor that what you should be praying is just for them to go peacefully. You know, God, I thank you for the peace. And I've prayed those prayers with a lot of people before, and God's answered that prayer. But you know in those moments where unless there's a breakthrough miracle, I mean an absolute miracle from God, nothing's changing. It's powerless. It's a tough place to be, you know. There are people that face certain things like that, jobs that get shut down out of nowhere, no warning, no advance warning. They move a company out of state or move them overseas and, you know, ship everything off. And next thing you know, everything's changing. Nothing you can do about it. There's so many things like that. Have you learned this, that most of the big things in your life you can't really do much about? Just have a good attitude and stay in faith. I've learned that too. But that's why you've got to learn this breakthrough prayer. That's why this is so important. So you notice in verse 12, he says, we're powerless. But remember, six verses earlier when he started praying, remember what he prayed? God, you're all powerful. Remember that? Just a few verses earlier, he said, you're all powerful. In other words, I don't have to be the most powerful one if I'm connected to God. He's got the power. I just need to be connected to him. Let that power, let that word work through me. Let that anointing work through me. Let that power of the Holy Spirit work through me. Remember, he's all-knowing. He's unlimited in his power. And if I'll stay connected to the source, all right, I don't have to be in every place if I'm connected to God because he's already in every place. The Holy Spirit's there. I don't have to have all the wisdom if I'm connected to God. He's got all the wisdom. I just got to receive it from him in that moment where I need it. This is what he's praying here, all right? All right, when you're in a situation where you can't control, you can't manage, you don't have the answers here, all right, what do you do in that situation? I'll tell you what you do. You pray, you wait, and you trust. You pray, you wait, and you trust. One of the hardest lessons when it comes in faith, when it comes to living by faith, is that, Lord, help me say this the right way. Sometimes faith means doing nothing. I am absolutely serious. Sometimes faith means doing nothing. And let me clarify that, okay? Sometimes in faith, all you can do is stand there. But by just standing there, you're in faith. Because if you weren't in faith, you'd be on your back. If you weren't in faith, you'd be backing up. You'd be retreating. You'd be running. Running away, running from, or running to. Sometimes faith means doing nothing, all right? A lot of times, all you can do after you've prayed is wait and trust. And again, you're being thankful, thanking God in advance. So in a sense, you're doing something, but really what you're doing is you're standing your ground. You're standing your ground in faith, all right? Listen, sometimes there's something so big in your life, you yourself can't do anything about it. You can't. All you can do is remind God of his promise, pray this breakthrough prayer, and while you're praying it, thank God and then stand there and wait on the Lord. That's the honest to God truth. You know, you're working by faith just by standing there, all right? Sometimes faith means doing nothing. Faith means standing there and waiting while the enemy is headed straight to you. Look at this. This is faith. Verse 13, then all of the men of Judah What did they do with their wives and their children and their little ones? Look what they did. Stood there before the Lord with three different armies heading straight to them, wanting to kill them, erase them from the planet. What did they do? Stood there. What does this mean? Literally, it means that they, every guy in the nation, they stood up right before God. They stood their ground. This is awesome. It doesn't mean they stood, it doesn't mean 5 minutes either. It means they stood their ground before the Lord for hours. And so what it meant by this, symbolically, is they are standing before the Lord, and what they're saying is, God, we are standing before you with an enemy right in front of our face. We are standing right in front of you, and we're acknowledging that this thing, it's too big for us. But notice what they're not doing. They're not turning and running. They're not hiding. They're not closing their eyes, pretending that the problem is just going away on its own. They are standing. They're saying, we are having a crisis. It is beyond our control. And if we're down to the end of our rope, and if we're going down standing before the Lord. That's what they're saying. This is in faith. And God, we are going to watch, we're going to wait, and we are going to trust. The Bible says they stood there with their wives and children and babies. You know, there are sometimes in a breakthrough prayer, you got to get your family involved. There are times where my wife and I, will get our kids involved praying for something. If it's significant enough, a lot of times, too many times, parents shield their kids over the big stuff. Hide the big stuff because we don't want them dealing with it. But the reality is we need them exposed because they need to learn faith for themselves as well. And they're not going to learn it by just, you know, one day absorbing it or reading it on Google or something. They need to learn it by example. It needs to be taught. They need to learn by experience at a young age. And if there's a real breakthrough prayer, don't be afraid to bring your kids in on this if it's something serious enough and teach them how to pray with you. Listen, I've seen little kids with some of the greatest faith you'd ever see in your life believe in God for miracles because they have childlike faith. They believe in everything. You teach them the Word of God, they'll believe God can do it. Where parents and adults have convinced themselves and have been convinced that it can't happen because of this and this and this, and they got all this past and all this baggage they're dragging with. Kids, they're innocent. Their hearts are open. They're like, yeah, God can do it. I can fly. I believe it. They just go for it. Kids have some awesome faith. Get them involved in this, all right? There are times where you've got to stand before the Lord, all right? Final thing that I'm going to share tonight is this, all right? We tell God, I can't do this, I need to do this. The third thing is this, after you have prayed, listen to what God says. You've got to listen to what God says, all right? See, prayer is a conversation. Prayer is not one-sided communication where you do all the talking and God does all the listening and then he just does what you want him to do when you want him to do it. I prayed my breakthrough prayer, God, give it to me right now. No, prayer is not you doing all the talking. All right, a person who talks all the time, that's not a prayer, that's a monologue. Isn't that what that's called? A monologue. You're doing all the talking. That's not what prayer is, all right? If you want to have a conversation with God, listen, you can't build a friendship if you're the only one talking. You're going to get on somebody's nerves at that point, all right? At some point, let somebody else do some talking. Be a friend. And so you're not spending time with God the whole time talking. You're spending some time letting God talk to you. How? I'll tell you how. One way is through this book. You let him talk to you through this book. See, everybody's wanting a vision. You know what you need? A verse. God, give me a vision. He's like, everything I would ever tell you, I've told you. It's right here. It's right there. I'm speaking to you right now. Everything he's put it right here, all right? People are always looking for a sign. God, show me a sign in the sky. And God's like, I'm not going to write something in the sky. I gave you a scripture. It's right here. Everything I would ever say to you, it's in this book. Every promise, every healing, every deliverance, everything you've ever needed from God, everything he would speak to you is in this book. It is found and contained in these powerful pages. It is all right here, all right, in God's Word. So start looking into God's Word. The more you read this book, you'll know what to do, all right? So you've got to listen to what God says. Verse 15 through 18 is packed with all this encouragement where you see where they were listening, all right? And this is how we'll finish up, and then we'll pray some tonight. This is what the Lord says to do, all right? He says, don't be afraid, don't be discouraged. This is God speaking back to them, all right? Remember, this is their moment where they're listening. And God will say the same thing to you if you'll pay attention to this. He'll speak to this to your heart. This is what the Lord says to do. Don't be afraid or discouraged because of this big army, this one that's coming to attack you, because, watch, I love this. The battle is not yours, but whose? God's. The battle is not yours, but is God's. He says, you won't even need to fight in this battle. All right? Take up your position. Stand strong. Wait and watch, and you'll see the Lord deliver you. You'll see him deliver you. All right? In other words, you're not going to deliver yourself. This isn't going to be something you provided for yourself so you can high-five yourself. I did this. No, you're not going to be able to give yourself any glory out of this. This is going to be God's glory. All right? This is the breakthrough prayer. God says, I'm going to deliver you. Again, he says, don't be afraid or get discouraged. And listen to this. He says, don't be worried here because the Lord is with you. And after they listen to what God has spoken to them, it says this, then the king and everyone else, what did they do? They bowed down on the ground and they worshiped God. God, I would have loved to have been there and taken a picture of that. Can you imagine an entire nation of people with the enemy coming right at them? They are standing their ground in faith. And all of a sudden, God speaks to them, and they all at once bow on their knees before God and worship. What an amazing moment. What a life-changing moment that would have been. Just this powerful thing. When we begin to pray the way these people prayed, Jehoshaphat the king prayed, then you're going to get God speaking the same things he spoke to them back to you. And that's what so many of us need to hear from God. The battle is not yours, it's God's. Let me do your fighting for you. Stand in faith. Learn to pray this breakthrough prayer. Learn to pray this breakthrough prayer. And God will come through for you.